Turn with me, if you would, in the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, to the 10th chapter, and let us read together from verse 1 to through to the 22nd verse. Beginning to read then with verse 1, "Hear now the word of the Lord. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud. All passed through the sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with most of them God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things became our examples, to the extent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted, and do not become idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality, as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Nor complain, as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the end of the ages have come. Therefore let him go, therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with a temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as one to wise men. Judge for yourselves what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, though many, are one bread and one body, for we all partake of that one bread. Observe Israel after the flesh. Are not those who eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What am I saying then, that an idol is anything? Or what is offered to idols is anything? Rather, that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and the table of demons. Or do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he?" May God bless his reading to our good understanding. In the series on worship, I wanted to cover before we finished the dangers of worship. I remember a class taught by Dr. Greg Bonson much earlier in our life, where Dr. Bonson was teaching a class on ethics, and he gave a warning to the class before he went very far. He said, "Students, I want to warn you, we're studying ethics. We're studying what God considers good, what God considers bad." And he said, "We're all made more responsible by what we know." So he said, there are things in this class that you will learn, new responsibilities. And you will be responsible for them now that you know them. Now that you are better able to discriminate between good and evil, you'll be even more responsible for the evil that you then decide to do, even though you know it's wrong. We could say much the same thing about worship. There's a danger to worship. There's a danger to coming into the church of Christ, because the more you know, the more God will hold you responsible for. It's not a small thing to come before the living God. God has said that wherever two or three are gathered in his name, there he is in the midst of them. That's basic New Testament theology, that God dwells spiritually where his people are. And when we gather together and we have worship services like this, Even though you can't see God, even though God is not, you know, hovering over me like he did the tabernacle with a pillar of fire or a pillar of cloud, you know, then you could say, whoa, Pastor Knopple, you know, we need to take this seriously. Well, you need to take it seriously regardless. If I preach according to God's word, then you need to beware, because God will hold you more responsible for what you hear and what you know. Now, especially in worship, we see that there is an intimacy in worship, and that intimacy, the closeness of God, the closer that we get to God, brings us closer to the danger of the Lord. So that's what I wanted to talk about today. Now, God, in this, God, by talking about the danger, God does not do that to scare us away. God doesn't talk about the dangers of worship so that we might think to ourselves, well, the safest thing for me then is to stay away from this God. No. The judgment of God is determined beforehand. There's no way to escape the judgment of God. The best thing that we can do is draw close to God, especially if we recognize his gospel, if we recognize the assignment that he gave to his son, if we acknowledge that assignment by believing in his son, that's all good, and we can come close to God. We can with unveiled face, it says. You know, Moses on Mount Horeb, on Mount Sinai, Moses had to cover his face. lest he be overwhelmed by the Spirit of the Lord. But the book of Hebrews tells us that we have the benefit of Christ now, and that we can, even with an uncovered face, we can look unto the Lord, and we don't have to fear getting burned. You know, if you look up into the sun, children should never look directly into the sun, because the sunlight can burn their retinas. Now, you know, you wouldn't do this naturally, because the minute you do that, the minute you think of doing that, it hurts, because your eyes, you shy away from the sun. But there have been some kids that have just thought that that would be a wise thing to do, and they've hurt themselves. But God says, with Christ, Christ is such a covering, that even though the consuming power and nature of God is a million times greater than the sun, through Christ, maybe the sunglasses that Christ provides for us, we can behold the Lord. We can look unto the Lord, and we can draw comfort from him. So God, at the same time, he warns us about worship, and at the same time, he invites us to worship. He says, come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So let's look at this passage of Scripture with that in mind. And we see the two things here. We see, and let me just say before we begin, this passage has so many different teachings in it that you couldn't possibly fully explore it in one sermon. You'd really need to take more. And we're just looking at the text this morning in terms of the dangers of worship and the intimacy, or the dangers of worship, especially because of the union with the Lord that we have in worship. Now, in the first part, regarding the dangers, we see that God, he doesn't speak specifically of worship, but he gives many examples of worship gone bad. And the first one in verse 5, God says that even though all the people of Israel were united together, they were all on the same march and that sort of thing, they all escaped from Egypt at the same time, they all went through the Red Sea. But he says, despite the fact that they did so many things together, he says in verse 5, but with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. That's a scary thought right there. I mean, here are people that were all rah-rah and excited about the Lord going out of Egypt, and yet they didn't take the Lord seriously. We can't treat the Lord like our big buddy. God is not like a man, the Bible says. God is God, and we are mere people. We are his mere creations. We need to pay attention to who he is. And so, because of this, The landscape of the Sinai desert was littered with the bodies of the Israelites because they did not take God seriously. Now think about that. There were real bodies that were laying upon the ground of the wilderness of Sinai because they were messing around with God. They were just playing games with God. They thought to themselves, okay, God has spoken to me. I will acknowledge him, and then I will use him for my own benefit. If I have a God behind me, then I can basically live the way I wanted to live before, and now I'll have the strength of the Lord sort of to help me to get this deal over here, or trick this guy over there, to be less than honest with this woman, or to be less than honest with this man. So they were playing games with God. When God, if you're playing poker or cards or some game of chance, some board game, you can maybe play games with each other because you cannot read each other's minds. Great poker players, they say, can sort of read the eyes and they call them tells, these signs that they give off when they've got good cards or bad cards. But even that, there are very few men that can do that successfully. Witness the very small number of wealthy gamblers, and notwithstanding, the Lord knows these things. It's as easy for him to tell what's going on with us as it is to look out our windows and see what's going on in the street. There's nothing hidden from the Lord, and so God knows all of your motivations. He knows all of your plans. He knows when you say, "Oh, I love you," when you really don't mean I love you to someone. Or even when you are deluded yourself and you say, you give your intentions, you say what you're going to do, and you just don't know that you're a druggie and that you're the challenge to your life is to get the next fix. You don't care about anything else. There's a tremendous delusion in the hearts and minds of people. But God knows all of these things. And he says, in this regard, he says, now these things, these people that were scattered where the judgment of God fell upon them, these became our examples to the extent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lust. And then he uses a term of worship. He says, and do not become idolaters, that is, worshiping a false god, as were some of them. And then he gives a bunch of examples where people got into trouble because they worshipped in the wrong way. They worshipped the wrong God. They worshipped without thinking about the Lord. First of all, he mentions, I like the phrase in verse 7 where he says, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Instead of really being sober about their lives, they treated their life kind of like a game. He says, let us not commit sexual immorality as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell. Well, how did sexual immorality relate to 23,000 people? The Old Testament says 24,000, so we have a pretty good idea that it was, you know, in the high 23,000s of people that died. And when did that happen? Well, it happened at Baal Peor, where the people, this is Numbers 25, where the people of God went to worship along the way, and they got caught up in Moabite worship, Moabite temple worship, which was basically a sexual orgy. Now, can you imagine the Israelites, who have been schooled in righteousness, can you imagine them being seduced by a religious service in which there was wanton sexuality, fornication, and that kind of thing? But a great number, at least 24,000 people got involved in this false worship. They went to worship. They presumed that they could do whatever they were excited about, whatever they were swept up in. They didn't really ask questions. They just thought, well, what is coursing through my heart? What am I excited about? So many people today worship willy-nilly. They worship however they would, and they base it on excitement. They base it on what the what their Geiger counter in here tells them is real gold. And they're all excited, but it's not real gold. Here were 24,000 people who were destroyed because the magnetic north of their worship compass was completely mixed up. Worship can be dangerous. These Israelites went into a worship service, and somewhere in the midst of that, God's wrath began to break out against them. Again, God says that they were destroyed by serpents in the wilderness, and that comes from Numbers 21, 6 through 9, where the people of God again were tempted, and they were fearful in such a way that it showed their lack of worship, their lack of trust in the Lord. And so God sent serpents among them, and he schooled them on a sudden worship service cropping up in the midst of their lives, because they either worshipped the brazen serpent that he had Moses fashion and hold up before them. They either looked unto that serpent and worshipped the serpent, worshipped the god of the serpent, I should say, or they died if they continued to mess around with what they were doing. Why is it in the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians 11, why is it that in the worship service there, in the communion service, why is it that God warns us not to come into communion and not investigate ourselves? He says, it's because of this that some of you have died. Some of you have become sick. He warns us not to take the body and blood of Christ lightly, lest God's wrath break out upon us. You see, worship is a dangerous thing. It's a dangerous thing because God is there. If God is real and God is there, and you come in before him and you say you're going to worship him, but then you play games, you're in a very, very vulnerable situation. Now, God does this again. God does this not to scare us away from him, but God does this to scare us to him. Because we know that there's no life apart from God. So we must draw close to him. He is the only source of life. But if we draw close to him, we need to keep our heads on our shoulders. We need to think about these things. We need to take him seriously and take his word seriously. Now, this is amplified in the second part of the passage we read, because that speaks especially of the closeness and the intimacy that we have with God. In verse 16, the Apostle Paul says, "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ?" In other words, he's talking about communion, and he says, when we pass the cup, when we drink of the cup, do we not commune with the blood of Christ? Are we not one with the blood of Christ? You see how he's saying we get intimate with the Lord in this regard. The same thing with the bread. He says, the bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? And then he says, for we, though many, are one bread and one body, for we all partake of that one bread. He's saying that there is such a spiritual intimacy in the communion service that we are united. We are united in a sense with Christ and God through Christ. And we're even united with each other because we're sharing this thing together. There's a kind of a communion or intercourse, a linking of ourselves together. And God uses, tells us that's what happens when we worship. The Holy Spirit is present in worship, and the Holy Spirit is with each one of us. So when we come to the service, the Holy Spirit was bringing us into the presence of the living God. Now, intimacy with God is great if we do this in Jesus Christ, and we do this soberly with intentions to love the Lord. But if we just come to lollygag or to play games, you not see how you're playing games with a dangerous thing. And the Lord tells us, he warns us. He says he gives this to us as examples. And then he says in verse 20 that if we do this wrong, that we can actually have fellowship with demons. He looks at his Old Testament people and New Testament people and some of their situations. And he said that when they worshiped in the wrong way, they worshiped to demons. And when they worshiped to demons, they had fellowship with demons. You see, worship is an intense spiritual fellowship with God. And it's somewhat hard because we can't see God right apparently with us. But the Bible tells us, God's Word tells us, that same Word that we read earlier from Psalm 29, the Word of God thunders into our ears that He's here and that He's with us. And He calls us to awaken our hearts, to pay attention and to love Him with all of our hearts and all of our souls and all of our minds. And of course, we can't do that in the flesh, but we can do it in the Spirit as we are linked through the Spirit to Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ did love the Father with all of His heart and His soul and His mind. And so if we come into church and we're in Christ, spiritually communing with Christ, then we can commune with the Father without worry. And not only without worry, but with great promise. That's the other side of this thing. Wherever there is negative power displayed in the Scripture, there's also the potential for positive power. Many people don't understand the positive power of the sacraments in the New Testament age because they've never compared the positive with the negative. God gives us illustrations in the Bible, 1 Corinthians 11, God gives us illustrations of the negative power, but by that He wants us to see that there's positive power. The sacraments are not just symbols. They're not just things that we go through symbolically. The Protestants, Luther, Calvin, Zwingli, Knox, they taught that there was great power in the sacraments for good, partially because of God teaches us what the power is for bad. So let us realize the dangers of worship, and let us thereby enjoy the benefits of worship. Let the Lord lavish His love upon us in worship as our hearts leap for joy and credit God with all His wonders and all His glory. Though when we do partake of the sacraments, when we baptize our children, let us have great hopes, because God, if we come to God in faith, He communicates His grace to us. It's invisible, but it's there nonetheless. And God can bless our lives. God does bless our lives by doing these things. Let's close with that happy note in mind. Our Father and our God, we pray that we would see worship as a great key in our lives. Today, millions pass by on the other side and they have no sense that the most exciting thing in the world is happening when people worship the Lord. And many times we Christians, even though we're in the midst of the pillar of fire, in the midst of the pillar of cloud like the Israelites were in the Old Testament, we still don't realize, we don't understand our environment. But we pray that we would. And we pray that You'd bless us through worship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.